Every morning, we have the opportunity to see the dawn rise. But in the world, how many people take that opportunity to see the dawn rise? How many people take the opportunity to be aware of what's happening as the dawn is coming up? Well, most people are sleeping, and it's as it should be, that most people should be sleeping, because that way the world is quiet, and it's the perfect time of day for meditation and for relaxation, because the world's not so busy. Now, you might say there's a lot of busy people getting up early in the morning and going to work before the dawn rise. And that's true. There are a lot of people who work 12 and 15 hours a day. People who put in long days at work, and they're efficient, and they do a good job, and they do wonderful things. And then there are a lot of people who get up early in the morning because their body doesn't let them sleep, because their body has pains in it, and because it has uncomfortableness. And a lot of people don't sleep because they have so many things on their mind that are bothering them, things that they have done that were not nice, or things that they want to do that they think are wonderful. And so they, because of their busy mind, are awake. And then there are a lot of people who just love to get up in the morning and see the sunrise. They love to get up and take a walk early in the morning and go out and enjoy the fresh, beautiful air, because it is so crisp and so nice, because all of the day's soot and smog has sort of settled down and is no longer in the air. It hasn't been stirred up by the day's activities. What is my reason for getting up each morning and enjoying the rising of the sun? Well, I'm a sun worshiper. No, I just like to get up early in the morning because it's so wonderful to be in the freshness of the day. And when the temperature is 50 degrees or above, I can really be comfortable. When it's 50 degrees or below, more like below, I usually have to bundle up because it's a little cool. But normally, it's just a lovely, lovely morning to go out and soak it up, soak up the freshness. You say, well, isn't that cold out there? Not really. It's cold if you think of your body, or if you touch your body says, oh, it's cold. But if you don't touch your body doesn't tell you that it's cold. It's perfectly normal. It's perfectly warm. It might be a little cool because you think it's cool, but it's not cool because it's cool. Little children playing in the snow oftentimes have their gloves off, and they don't even feel their hands being cold. They don't even know that their hands are getting frostbitten or whatever is happening. And most of the time it doesn't happen either, because kids will play out there and their hands will just be icy cold, but yet they're no problems ever come to them. It's only the parents who say, oh, you're going to get frostbite, you're going to get this, you're going to get that. You keep your hands warm and do this. And then the kids forever after are always worried about having their hands be warm and cozy. And that's not a bad thing to do. It was sort of a wasteful thing to do. Because they could be, the mothers could be putting into their consciousness, now think warm, think warm. You remember, you could join the polar bear club if you think warm, because then you can dive into the icy water and think warm. How can these people dive into the icy water and take a swim and then come out and then go and get warm? They should get influenza. They should get colds. They should have all the problems in the world, but they don't. Why don't they? Because they're not thinking it's going to bring them problems. In the morning, when you get up and you have a chance to go out and enter into the day with a freshness and a wonderfulness and a quality inside of you that says, oh, isn't this great? Isn't this fantastic? I walk along the path, and I can hear my feet plop, 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 plop. And sometimes I'll scrape my foot a little bit as I come up on the upper level or as I'm climbing over some rocks in the mountains here and things like that. And it's a very interesting experience because I think, my goodness, my hearing is extremely acute. I can hear all these little noises. Then I hear the birds singing in the bushes. And then sometimes they'll sing a special concert to me, and I have to stop and wait for the concert to end. You know, I can't be discourteous and walk away from them while they're giving me a special concert. And so I applaud them, and I say, thank you very much. And then I go on, and then another concert goes on. You know? And if I go by enough bushes, it takes me quite a while to take my morning walk. But it's a wonderful morning walk. And as I'm usually starting out, the moon is just glistening on my path, making everything so bright. Right now there's only about an eighth moon up there, but it's just like a full moon because the sky is so clear and everything is so beautiful. And I go walking along and I just feel so fresh and so great. And I'm making my affirmations and thinking my thoughts and blessing my family and my friends and the organization and all the staff and all the people. I'm just having a great time. And it's a wonderful thing to do because it makes everything come alive. It makes you feel like you're just 100 feet tall. It makes you feel like everything is worthwhile in the world. If you ever want to know what bliss is like, enter into your morning walk and then let go. But don't go into the morning walk looking for bliss. Go into the morning walk looking for the joy the morning walk has to offer. Listen to the birds, and they'll sing to you. In fact, they'll sing some well-known melodies. Tweet, 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 tweet. You know, the ones that you've heard before. And they're just really lovely. And then, as you stand there and you listen to the birds, the little bunny rabbits hop out of the brush, and then they come and look at you. And you say, well, hi, kids, how are you doing this morning? And they look up at you, and they say, fine. And then they go on their way. Sometimes they walk ahead of you. They just stay ahead of you. They don't want to leave, you know, your path. They don't want to walk behind you, but they walk ahead. And they won't go to the right or to the left. They just walk ahead. And you watch their little white tails bobbling along. And it's just the cutest little thing. You think to yourself, my goodness sakes, what are you guys doing out so early in the morning? You can hardly see the grass or anything else to eat. What are you doing out here, you know? Why aren't you in your little houses, snuggled down there and just so comfortable? But they're out doing their thing, having the fun. And of course, when Button and Love come out, then they really go for a run, because Button and Love just love to have that part of their morning chase when they can. But as I walk along, I go up and down the different levels. And then as I go down, sometimes I feel a little coolness in the valley. And then I go up and I feel a warmness as I go up onto the early mountains and up onto the early hills. And really, if you could look from where, there's quite a variety of hills on our property here that you walk on as you make the morning walk. But it's so beautiful because you feel so good. And you don't think of your feet, you don't think of your body, you don't think of anything. You're just sort of out there doing your own thing, being happy with yourself, just being in love with the world and being in love with life and thinking everything is just fantastic. And of course, it is. Then you say to yourself, now, I have a big day ahead of me. I would like to do these things and get these things accomplished. I'd like to work on these things on the computer. I'd like to work on these things for the books. I'd like to work on these things. And I say to myself, hush, be silent. You have all the projects laid out on your desk. Do them one by one. And as they're done, then that's fine. When they're not done, that's fine too. The world is going to keep right on turning if your projects aren't done. The world will turn a little smoother and a little happier when they're done, but it'll keep right on turning. It doesn't really need your projects. But just do them with love, do them with gentleness, do them with a feeling of happiness, but don't get all shook up about it. Just whenever you feel urgency about your project, immediately say, peace. Peace, peace, peace. And then, strangely enough, the project just seems to get done. Everything falls into place. But when you say, oh, I've got so much to do, so much frustration, you know, so much problem here that needs to be taken care of, what am I going to do? I had a bad experience the other day. The experience was a young man who came into my life. And he asked questions, which were good questions. But then he wouldn't let me answer them. Then he answered the questions himself. And his answers were, of course, his answers, and they weren't what mine would have been. And then he asked me more questions, and he wouldn't let me answer them. And I thought, why am I creating this type of person in my life? Usually I create people in my life who want to share, or who want to give me something that's beautiful, or who want to accept from me what things I know that are beautiful. But this person was not that way. He had his own ego program that he was working on, and it was very good. It was very good. He felt self-confident and self-assured. But I thought to myself, why did I create a person like this in my mind, in my world, in my experience? And I did that. Just like I create a little stone on the path in the morning. I'm walking along my moccasins, and all of a sudden I'll step on a stone, and it sticks right up into my ball of my foot. And what's the first thing I do? The first thing I do is just ease up on my pressing down of my foot. I just instantly ease up, automatically. And I hardly feel the rock at all. I know it's there, but I move to one side of it even. But I ease up. I ease up whenever some obstacle comes along. I relax. And when I relax, then nothing happens. No problem comes up. Solutions come, but no problems. So it sort of taught me a lesson about dealing with that fellow. As he brought up his ideas and his way of doing things, which seemed to indicate he wanted me to give an answer, and then he didn't provide me with time to give an answer, I thought, hey, that's okay. It's okay. Relax. When he is ready to come and ask you a question about something you know, then you'll be there. And when he doesn't, don't expect him to do anything that is not his nature. Let him be. Be unconditional about it, non-judgmental. It's hard to be unconditional and non-judgmental because we are always thinking that everybody wants what we have. Everybody wants to have everything that we have to give, you know? And that's not always so. Sometimes people want to give us what they have to give. And that's a beautiful thing to do. And we should just release it and let go. And who we are is who we are, and it's who we will always be. And we don't need to prove ourselves right now or any other time. It seems so right for me to correct him, for me to teach him, for me to say things to him, because he's coming into my house and talking to me, and you'd think that he'd want to hear what I have to say. But I have to realize he has to do his own thing. He came here because he wanted to have a little bit of a feeling of paradise. And in having that little bit of a feeling of paradise, he might want more later. But the big thing is, he wanted that little bit of feeling of paradise. And so when he comes in here and he says things that are contrary to my way of thinking, I just let him be, bless him, and let him go. Like it would be so easy for us to see someone saying that they had prayed or that they had treated, and then somebody else snickers, they say, yeah, I know what you mean. And we think that that's a disrespect. We have to just keep our nose out of other people's business in those cases, because they have to find their own way. If it is disrespect from our point of view, great. If it's not disrespect from their point of view, great. Then they're not having any experience there. I can tell you, Madame and Messieurs, if you go into Mrs. Jones' house and Mrs. Jones has her baby and she's cuddling this little baby and says, you say, can I hold the baby? So you take the baby and then all of a sudden the baby drops a big load and he smells and he's wet and you say, Mama, I think your child wants you. And Mama says, oh, wonderful, wonderful. I was waiting for him to make his mess, to release the load because he had bad stomach and now everything is okay. Now everything is okay. And she changes his diapers and she washes him off and she says, oh, it's so wonderful. It's so wonderful that you made this mess, that you dropped this load in your pants and stuff like that. And for her, what her child does in a normal, beautiful way is lovely. Someone else whose child it is not and might be holding it and it does it in his arms, it's not as pleasant. Now, he doesn't have that ability to smell perfume when mother has the ability to smell perfume. Mother feels that the child is, wow, doing everything normal, everything's working good, all the equipment is working, and this is great, oh, I'm so happy, because it might not have been working perfectly just before, or she's just always happy when it works, you know? And you see, we have to be very careful in our judgments of other people's lives and other people's actions and other people's things and doings, because what happens sometimes is we don't see the whole story, and we don't understand the whole story, and we have to be aware. It's just like in the morning, I walk out in the moonlight, and there is no light in the sky except the moonlight and perhaps some beautiful stars. And then as I walk around the path, it takes close to an hour, 45 minutes, and as I walk around the path, up and down the hillsides, over the small mountains and so forth, little by little, the eastern sky lightens up, and I can see better and better and better, and I think, oh, is the moon getting brighter? You know, but it's the sun brightening up the sky before it pops over the horizon. And as it brightens up the sky, it just feels so illumined, it's so glorious. It's just a lovely thing. And seeing the dawn rise is an experience that every one of us could thoroughly enjoy, could thoroughly get a lot of good out of if we wanted to. And seeing the dawn rise in our own consciousness, where we learn to mind our own business, where we learn not to judge other people, because like the little baby might have smelled to the guest, but he was pure treasure to the mama. And you think, what's wrong with that mama? My goodness, you know. Nothing's wrong with her. She's in her world doing her thing, and it's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful way. Now, are you in your world doing your thing in your beautiful, beautiful way? Are you being on top of all things and not being judging of other people or our circumstances? Just do whatever comes your way to do. Are you going to let the sun come up and just slowly illumine the world? And as it illumines the world, it takes away the darkness and brings out the brightness. And so then there are no more shadows. There's only light. And that's what the dawn does to me. And that's why I love walking every morning in the pre-dawn. Sometimes it's 2 o'clock, sometimes it's 3, sometimes it's 4. It doesn't matter. But I just thoroughly enjoy it. And I come in, and then I jump into the jacuzzi with my cold body, and the jacuzzi goes, like you drop an ice cube into the jacuzzi. But in a moment, I'm back to normal again, in my outer as well as my inner, warm, toasty, and happy. You guys are super. I love you very much.